Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And we'll go to Mike Petriello, who is a number cruncher, I'll say that, but he's much, much more than that. He's been on with us before. From MLB StatCast. How are you, Mike? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Here with me.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike, let's start off with the Indians and the schedule that came out. And, you know, a lot of people have said a lot of things about this, but it sounds good for the Indians the way the schedule shakes out as far as analytics are concerned, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I looked at this last night when we got the information about the schedule, and I found that the Reds benefited more than anybody, but the Indians were in the top three. And part of the reason for that is in the original schedule, they were already supposed to play the Reds four times, right?
Hey, Mike, real quick. We got Morse code coming in over your phone line here real quick. Let's just, we're going to hang up and call you right back really quick.
All okay? Right.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, that was interesting.
Save I thought he was Uncle job. Martin.
I didn't think is Bill Bixby anywhere near?
No, he's not.
Is he near us?
No.
He's not?
No, he's
all
not.
All right, so we're going to reestablish with Mike the line. That was interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard that in our 10 years that we've been doing this, Jeff, or just under 10 years, where it sounds like we're trying to bring the ships on into Lake Erie and get them in. Jeff, you saw the schedule last night. Kind of lackluster to me, you know, as far as the release, just because fans can't go.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Mike Petriello now from MLB.com. Mike, thanks again. I think we can hear you now.
Hopefully.
There we go.
Much better. All right, so let's go back to the beginning on the Indians and how this schedule is very beneficial for the tribe as far as trying to win.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Indians originally were going to play the Reds four times, and the Reds are expected to be competitive. And what happens now, obviously, is they don't have to face the East, so there's no Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, and they don't have to worry about the West, so there's no Astros or A's. They get a little bit more of the NL Central, and you know, generally that would be a bad thing because the NL Central is competitive, but if you think about the fact that they were already going to play the Reds, well, now they get six games against the Pirates that they were not originally going to get. And the Pirates, I think, are expected to be terrible. And when you look at the 60-game season, they're playing something like a third of their schedule, or more than that, actually, against the Pirates, the Royals, and the Tigers. I mean, those are three teams that had like a 350 winning percentage last year. So this helps all the Central teams a little bit, but it really does help the Indians to add six more games against a really bad Pirates team.
Mike, do you like the idea that they're just playing in their division and then the division in the other league, the same geographic division, or do you think there was a better way to do it?
I'm fine with it. I mean, it's not perfect. You know, there's some weird complexities here where, you know, the Pirates and Phillies, who aren't really that far apart, don't play each other at all, and certainly the Central teams have a lot less travel to make than the teams in the West. Not much to do about that. You know, Seattle is very far away from everybody. Denver is very far away from everybody. I think you probably have to make the best of what it is, especially if you're going to keep the playoff system the same as it is. So I really don't have any problem with this at all.
Do you think home field advantage means other? I mean, to me, it's just like, okay, you get the bat last. You get the bat first here if you're the away team. Like, I don't know that. I wonder how home field advantage is going to play out for this season only.
That is a great question. So home field advantage, you know, fluctuates a little bit, but it's generally about a 54 to 46 advantage for the home team. And there's a million reasons why that could be. As you said, getting the bat last, right? Is it sleeping in your own bed? Is it not being jet lagged? And what's interesting to me is there's been a couple studies on this. And one of the biggest indicators of home field advantage has actually been The home team gets a few more favorable calls from the umpire, and I'm not implying any bias or anything untoward there, but, you know, these guys are human, right? You've got 40,000 screaming fans, and you kind of want to make your big show on 3-2, and the home team gets a little bit of an advantage from that, and that's probably not going to happen this year. You know, I'm fascinated to see what this is going to be. We might end up with no home field advantage at all, and I think that's actually happened a little bit in European soccer so far. Now, not a lot of games, obviously, small samples, but if that's an indicator, this actually could be a big change for the season.
Mike, I'm expecting something to happen in the course of the games, that we see some kind of a trend, either where it's pitching that's used differently than it's been in the past, or something actually on the field that's different. And I have no idea what it's going to be. Do you have any thoughts on what might change in the game based on 60 games in a very compacted period of time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for me, the number one thing is pitching. You know, it's unlikely that you're going to have all these starters ready to go out there throwing 110 pitches on day one. So you're going to see, especially early on, a lot of starts that are 3, 4, 5 innings, and I think you're going to see a lot more interesting usage. You'll see the opener, sure, but I also think you're going to see a lot of tandem or piggyback starts where the intention is you've got, you know, two guys who are going to give you 7 innings, and that's the goal. That's not an accident. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. So I really think the teams that have not just the best pitchers, but the most good pitchers, a team like the Rays, for example, they're really going to get a benefit out of this. And if you're a team where you've got maybe one or two good starters and not much behind that, that team's going to be in big trouble.
Mike, what do you think it's going to win? I'm fascinated by just like the oddity of the season, where I wonder what the highest batting average is going to be. Like, who's going to win the batting title? And, you know, what's going to be the best ERA? How many wins, or what's the, you know, the best ERA, or any way you want to look at pitching? But how are we going to figure out who the Cy Young Award winner is this year? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You got to lean into the weird. I mean,
yeah.
If we even get a full season this year, it's a minor miracle, because we as a country don't deserve it. So if we are gifted with a full baseball season, I will be pleased with any result of that happens. I do think it's possible you'll see a 400 hitter. But yeah, pitching is going to be really interesting, because it's not unreasonable to see a guy like a DeGrom or a Mike Clevenger or Shane Bieber, right, go through the 12 or so starts they'll get and give up 10 earned runs. Like, we've seen stretches like that. It's not out of the question that Mike Clevenger has a 1.01 ERA after a dozen starts. But it's going to be funny. You know, we've talked in the past about how pitching wins don't matter that much, and you've seen Jacob DeGrom win the Cy with 10 wins. What if somebody wins the Cy with 4 wins this year? It's really going to be super weird. And I think when we look back, we will definitely take the individual accomplishments with a grain of salt. If somebody hits 410, nobody's going to think they're Ted Williams. But the team accomplishments, whoever wins that ring, they're going to treasure that ring. It's going to mean just as much, if not more, than the one you'd win in a full season.
Mike, the one thing that I do think baseball got right here, and I might be in a minority, is that, okay, you've had to cram all these games in, you're only going to play 60, you're putting a man on second base in extra innings, blah, blah, all the stuff. But when you get to the postseason, you've got the same number of teams, and the postseason should look basically like every postseason before. Do you like that? Did they get that right, or should they have done different things?
No, I think they did the right thing. I know people are going to hate that extra innings rule, because they assume it's just going to be endless sacrifice bunts. I'm working on a piece now. I don't think that's true. I mean, we've seen this in the minors the last 2 years, and it turned out not to be sack bunt ball, because the visiting team quickly realized you couldn't play for one run, since the home team is going to have a man on second anyway. But since the goal of this rule for this year is to make sure there's not 17, 18 inning games and keeping guys at a park for 8 hours in a pandemic, that makes sense, but in the playoffs, that's less of an issue, because it's unlikely that's going to happen in the first place. So I'm fine with it happening for the year. I really like that we get a 2-month trial period, because everybody's going to hate it at first. And who knows, maybe after 2 months, we'll say, you know what, this is cool. We love it, and maybe we don't. But this is certainly the season to try out some weird stuff, and at least the intent behind it is good, I think.
So how did the Reds come out being the big winners in the schedule game?
Yeah, the Reds, they really benefit, because they get extra games against the Tigers and the Royals. It really comes down to the fact that the Central, both Centrals, have three really weak teams, the Pirates, the Royals, and the Tigers. And the Reds being in the National League, you look at the Eastern Division, four of those five teams are pretty good. You look at the Western Division, the Dodgers are obviously excellent, and, you know, two of those other teams are competitive. They don't have to deal with any of that anymore. They already had to deal with their own division, so that's not much of a difference. But, you know, more games against the Tigers and the Royals is a big deal, and they're actually a unique case. The Indians are as well, because usually those two teams are the designated interleague rival, you know, like Dodgers, Angels, Mets, Yankees, et cetera. But these guys got them changed this year just because Cleveland and Detroit, or excuse me, Cincinnati and Detroit are close to each other. So now the Reds and the Tigers are the rival. That adds more Tigers games to the Reds schedule.
You win 37 games, it's like winning 100. You think people can wrap their heads around that, Mike?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Last year, after 60 games, the best teams were Tigers, Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, as you'd expect, right? Worst teams were, I think, Orioles, Royals, you know, Blue Jays, as you'd expect. The middle, like 20 teams, that is going to be an absolute mess. I would be shocked if we don't have multiple ties at the end of the season. You know, and like I said before, you really have to lean into the weirdness of this year. This, you cannot expect this to look like a normal baseball season, because for a billion different reasons, it's not. And if you were to kind of put this schedule applied to the normal six-month schedule, it's basically starting on August 1st with everybody tied and everybody running off from there. I still don't think some of those bad teams like the Orioles can compete, but it wouldn't be out of the question to see a team you might not have otherwise thought of, like, let's say, you know, the Marlins or the Rockies or somebody making a run, and I kind of hope they do. I think that'd be fun.
Mike Petriello from MLB.com joining us. All right, so I saw yesterday you retweeted Anthony Castrovince, who's a friend of ours, also from MLB.com, and his story about why the Indians should become the Spiders. Jeff's going to drop a little analytics on you right now and tell you why the Indians shouldn't become the Spiders. Jeff,
Mike,
tell him why.
Well, Mike probably knows.
It's right up your alley.
Mike's a very wise man. The worst major league team ever. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders winning only 20 games and losing 134. Mike, why would we want to bring that back?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. First of all, that was like 120 years ago.
Yeah, so why do we even care about Spiders?
Well, listen, the Mets once lost 120 games, and it doesn't mean that the World Series they ended up winning mattered less. And as Anthony could explain far better than I could, there's some stories to how that Spiders team was so bad. Like, their owners basically traded all of the best players to a different team on purpose. You know,
we've been there
now.
Before.
That was
we've
extreme.
Been there.
Yeah. Have you seen all of our great players?
Think about it, the Spider's Web party deck in right field, right? And all the Spider-Man tie-ins. That would be awesome.
Yeah, Morticia
right, so
Adams
you're down...
will be the team mom.
Are you down with Spiders then? Does that get your vote?
I love it. I love the Spiders. I think it's great.
All right, you're in. You're in. All right, well, have fun this season, because I just think this is going to be a great year for just the oddity of baseball and all the quirky things. And I mean, you have to be excited about a 60-game rush to the finish, right? I mean, I'm pumped.
Really? I mean, I'm apprehensive, obviously. Like, we've got testing issues and we've got health issues and guys who aren't going to play and are getting sick. And, like, we have to not forget the human cost of this. But if we can pull this off, I really do think this is going to be a blast. Like, a 60-game run, you're not going to have these teams that are, you know, out of it by April 20th and have 5 months of dead time to fill. Everyone's going to have something to play for over a shorter period. And I think that could be really, really fun.
Do you like the Indians over the Twins?
No, I'm sorry. The Twins were better last year, and then they went out and added Donaldson and Kenta Maeda. And Rich Hill, by the way, was supposed to miss half the season. Well, now he might be healthy on opening day. You know, so I think the Twins are like the third best team in baseball, and the Indians are, I don't know, the 12th best team in baseball.
All right, Mike, hopefully when the playoffs roll around, we'll play that back for you so we can talk to you and say, hey, whatever to your Twins. I'm just teasing. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate all the insight, too.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
And, of course, we'll read you at MLB.com. Of course, MLB Stratcast is where you can catch some of his stuff, too, as well. Mike Petriello, nice enough to join us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.